Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Jeannie Nigro, who is a seasoned Bible teacher speaking at conferences, churches, congregations, and retreats around the world. She also has a television program, and she has a book out called Unshaken, and its subtitle is Standing Strong in Uncertain Times. And recently, Jeannie has a new direction or potential path that she is pursuing in terms of using her God-given gifts to try and make a difference in the political realm as well. Jeannie, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Jerry. I've been looking forward to this time.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about your own background and particularly how you became a follower of Jesus.
Okay, well, I grew up in Northeast Ohio and went to college in Ohio, Ohio State and University of Cincinnati, and then moved to Southern California when I was about 24 years old, really searching for truth, Jerry, and just feeling like there's got to be more to life than this, and what's my purpose in life, and thought that I would find truth in Southern California, and I didn't, but I eventually found God, which is truth. I didn't, that last place I thought that I would find truth, I didn't believe in God at the time. I was raised Catholic, but at that time, in my 20s, didn't believe in God, and just really got to a point of feeling hopeless in my career and my personal relationships. And
what was your career path at that time?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, because I was trying about everything, you know, just really trying to find something that I believed in, that my heart was in, that I felt, you know, that I was made for, and I couldn't find that. I mean, I tried everything from, I had an MBA, so I tried, you know, advertising, music marketing, consumer research, all kinds of things, and then I eventually went toward a path of organizational change, or organizational consulting, and management consulting, and it was one of those things where it's that carrot that's always, well, you know, if you achieve this level, if you get this degree, if you get this job, then you'll have worth, you know, then you'll feel fulfilled, and you never do. And I never did. In fact, it was worse. You know, I would feel more and more unfulfilled, or more and more, no matter how much I knew, I had been through a lot of therapy at the time, and dealing with different issues in my family and my own sense of worth and value and identity. And so I understood a lot in my head, but then it didn't ever heal my heart.
And is this all there is? That was kind of the feeling you had. Is this all there is? And especially after you,
hopelessness. Yeah.
Yeah, and you achieve these different levels. Now, did you ever, in your hopelessness, did you ever get to a point where you were thinking about possibly, you know, I don't know, ending your life or something like that?
I did. Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly how I came to the Lord, actually, because I moved to California in 24. By the time I was 28. I was at a complete place of despair and hopelessness, and like I said, in all areas of my life. I followed the rules of the world, the messages of the world, what the world tells you at that time. I mean, this was in the 80s. It's even worse now, but as far as how to have a relationship with the man, how to, you know, how to conduct yourself as an adult, how to have relationships and all that, I was following the ways of the world. And they may, you know, look like that is attractive. That might look like the best path. And then what, you know, the movies never show you the pain that follows the behavior, you know. So I was in a lot of pain, a lot of rejection, and so forth. And so, yeah, I got to a point. It was actually March 20th of 1989 that I wanted to kill myself. And I just did not, I didn't want to go on living. And, but for about 6 months prior to that, I had been in a new job, and one of my coworkers was a Christian, and so we had been debating, and I had been arguing with him for about 6 months about God. But when I got to that point, I really cried out to God and said, you know, if you are real, take control of my life, because I don't want it anymore. I can't live this life any longer. If you're real, take control of my life. And he did. And that was exactly 30 years ago. Last month, it was 30 years ago, that he took control of my life. And so everything that I have, everything that I do, everything that I am is because of him. It's just every second is a gift from him that I would not have had. I wouldn't be alive without him.
Wow. And in the interim, you have written some books now, mm-hmm. Christian books, including this book, Unshaken. Mm-hmm. By the way, your website is Jeannie Nigro, JeanneNigro.com. And obviously, when a person entrusts their lives to Jesus Christ, there's still some, you know, rough spots along the way. But in the overall picture of things, I take it you're very glad you accepted Jesus.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I wouldn't be alive, but I'm just, even when the 30-year mark came up, I looked back and I thought, oh my gosh, I cannot believe
how good the
Lord
is.
Where I was at, you know, that
yeah.
I wanted to die, that I had nothing, that I was hopeless, that I felt rejected, I felt worthless. And so, like I said, everything that I am today, everything that I have, everything that I do is just His strength, a gift. Every single thing is a gift from Him.
Okay, and now, and you live now in New York City.
That's
how
correct.
Did you end up in New York City?
You know, in some ways, it was through the book Unshaken, because one of the premises of the book Unshaken is that everything in our lives can be shaken, you know, except for our intimacy with God. And was it 2 weeks after I released the book? My daughter was involved in a very severe equestrian accident where she had severe brain damage and skull damage and so forth. And to make a long story short, it was really a test of being unshaken. I was in the emergency room that day, and I just released the book, and I felt the Lord just whispering to me, "Unshaken." And I said, "Not now, not with my daughter. She's not gonna make it." And she couldn't talk or walk or anything at the time, and so it was really a test of applying everything in the book, but it was a true test because He did enable to be unshaken through it, and He's actually used it for good above and beyond we could ever imagine. And so through that, He moved us to New York to see a doctor for her, and who was still in treatment, but that's how we ended up in Manhattan. But in through that process, He's really done just an incredible work in my relationship with my daughter and our family and in our ministry. And our ministry now really we travel around the country, but really the focus is in Manhattan and in Washington, D.C., which are two places that it never was before. And so it's all part of how God's used this for good and for His ultimate plan.
Wow. How is your daughter doing now?
Much better. We're still involved in various treatments, but she's my right hand now in everything in ministry. So, what God has done in our relationship and in her and her spiritually is, like I said, it's just above and beyond what we could ever imagine. So
wow,
we're thankful for what happened now.
Sure. And on the back of the book, there's some points about this. It says, Unshaken will empower you to thrive, not just survive, no matter what the circumstances. Break free from barriers to intimacy with God, barriers such as fear, stress, anger, frustration, blame, performance, and self-condemnation. And also it says it will help you align with God's plans and purposes for these times and the world to come. Now, you mentioned New York City, but you also mentioned Washington, D.C., and I must confess, the way in which I even got to meet you was through the D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Statesmanship has had some intense training on a Christian world and life view for some potential people who are interested in pursuing politics, but applying their politics through a Christian worldview, so that they could really be salt and light, whatever they do in reference to politics. And it's in that context that we met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's amazing what God can do, because I was never involved in the political world or in Washington, D.C. at all. And now we spend probably half our time here and then half in Manhattan. It was a great program going through the Christian Statesman program. It was an amazing experience that I'm still really processing and will, I think, the rest of my life ever be changed by it. And also by your presentation specifically, Jerry, really, really, changed my life and my direction. And really it's all tied with Unshaken in the sense of, the only thing, especially in these times, everything can change. Anything can change any second, politically, in our personal lives, and things just are changing by the second. But the only thing that can't change is who God is and how He sees you. And the only thing that can't be taken away from us really ultimately is that intimacy with God. And that's our purpose. And so it's really helped me to stay focused on what is my purpose is ultimately is every day is intimacy with God. Well, how do we grow in intimacy with God, or how do we experience intimacy with God is really a number of ways, but one is really aligning our hearts with His. And so seeing things as He sees them, seeing ourselves as He sees us, seeing other people as He sees them, sharing His passions, His passion for Israel, His passion for others, and His passion for this nation. And that's really where it led me into this, I guess, political area is really through the States on program, really understanding the biblical roots of our nation and understanding, I think, seeing God's hand in every single element of how this nation was founded and seeing that it is His creation, it is His passion. And so to fight for this nation is not a choice, in my opinion anymore. It's really a ministry. It's aligning with God's heart and His passion. And so through this whole process and then understanding really more of the spiritual battle behind what we see. You know, we're not in a political battle. We're in a spiritual battle. Behind everything that we see on the news, it's a spiritual battle. And it's become more and more clear what a clearly defined battle it is in terms of it's just basically down to good versus evil. But beyond that, it's Satan against God. And everything that's happening in our world really is just aligning against God and against anything of God. And we need to stand up, and we need to say enough, no more, and to be engaged in the spiritual battle, not to see it as political even, but to be engaged in it as a spiritual battle and to fight for righteousness, but to fight for God and for truth and not allow this demonic work that's going on to continue to devour our freedoms and to devour our country, this nation that God has founded, that God that is in every single, like I said, that He is a part of everything that was in its foundation. And I believe part of His end times plan is restoration and wanting to restore everything back to its original design. And we're currently living in a counterfeit of what God's original design was for this country. So I am looking into various ways of making a difference here, one of them possibly a congressional run. Something I never would have imagined, but yet feel called to at this time to pursue and to investigate.
Well, if I could say something that I did say in my talk, there's this fantastic quote. It's only seven words, but from Calvin Coolidge, our 30th president, often an overlooked president. I think Ronald Reagan said that Calvin Coolidge was one of his all-time favorite presidents. He's certainly the only president that was named after a reformer. His full name is John Calvin Coolidge. But anyway, Calvin Coolidge said, 30th president, if good men don't hold office, bad men will. I mean, it really, nature abhors a vacuum. Now, we have only less than one minute left, but that quote really struck me when I first read it, and I thought it was important enough to share. And then we showed how, in our talk about Alinsky, how Saul Alinsky, mm-hmm. who's being imitated by so many. Yeah, he said that he dedicated his book to Lucifer. Now we have 45 seconds. How about a closing thought in 45 seconds on Christians need to get involved in the political process, however they do it?
Mm-hmm. I think seeing that it's a spiritual battle ultimately, and so we are called to it. I mean, we are. We can't separate ourselves from it, and also, you know, it's funny because I've struggled with the Lord myself and argued back and forth in a sense, going, but my ministry, I thought, you know, I was supposed to be in ministry, and I felt the Lord speak to my heart and said, you won't have the freedom to have a ministry if we don't do something now, and so we're fighting for our freedoms, we're fighting for God, we're fighting for
Israel,
the very existence of our nation and for Israel. And it's really down to, it's a life or death type of thing to me at this point of seeing that this is not an option. And we need to engage.
For Christians to get involved, yes.
Right.
Okay,
exactly.
We're basically out of time, but thank you so much for sharing with us. Again, the book you've written is called Unshaken, and we've been talking with Jeannie Nigro. Her website is Jeannie Nigro, that's spelled J-E-A-N. JeannieNigro.com. Thank you, Jeannie. God bless and all the best.
God bless. Thank you so much, Jerry.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.